Hello, Radio St. Pete. This is Alexis Baum, otherwise known as AB of AB Sees You, the show that sees people for who they are, wherever they are, and shines a little audio spotlight on their story. And this lovely Sunday evening when I'm recording this, AB sees who?
John West.
And?
Gavin Pryke from England.
I think they already got the England part just from your accent.
I'm not quite sure. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, just to be sure. But you're not in England right now. Where are you?
I am in Kenwood.
Kenwood. That's historic Kenwood, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yes, it's marvelous. Simply marvelous.
And what brought us together? John, can you share?
What brought us together
today,
tonight or
tonight?
Or
we could go into history, but, you know, let's start with just now.
You know, stars aligned. We happen to have some work not too far away, and you just happen to be in town. Rare. Two rare occasions happening at the same time. We took advantage of it. Drove down about an hour from Orlando.
How long did it take you to get here?
Hour and a half, 2 hours.
Hour and a half.
Something like that. We took our time. We stopped in Lakeland.
Oh, they stopped in the great town of Lakeland.
Yeah, on Main Street, like a little town square.
Okay.
It was pretty nice. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Is this your first time to St. Pete?
It is, yeah.
What about you, Gavin?
It's absolutely my first time in St. Pete. It's only my second time in Florida.
Really? Yeah. What was your first time in Florida?
It's not something I'm proud to share, but...
Well, you might as well for the radio listeners. They love this kind of stuff.
Okay, well, once upon a time, I used to work for a man called Richard Branson, and we had an airline called Virgin Atlantic, and I designed, like, some things that went on the aircraft. I worked for him. And then as a reward for it, he said, you can have a weekend, because we were the preferred airline for Disneyland. So I went to Disneyland, Florida.
Disney World then, I guess.
Was it Disney? Oh, sorry. I thought it was a land. I didn't realize
Disneyland is in California, so I think you're talking Disney World in Orlando.
It was the universe, the Disney universe. And I was on site, so I was in a little clapboard house. There was little Mary Poppins coming along to clean it. It was surreal. I was only there for a long weekend. We did go to Pleasure Island, though. That was a very different experience.
Wow.
But little Mickey was everywhere. His little ears were there on the taps. It's a bit spooky.
Yeah.
And then they were there on the railings.
How long ago was that?
It's 25 years ago.
And this is like your 25th anniversary coming back to Orlando, then?
Yes, let's drink to that. Cheers.
Let's drink to that. Okay, cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers to that.
Sorry, that was a little pause on radio for us to do a little sipping.
Yeah.
I do want to point out something you said right before I put the phone in your face unexpectedly, was you're about to talk about how this little time together is something very special that you heard me talk about.
Well, before I do,
because
I'm in Disneyland, back in Disneyland 25
Disney
years.
World.
Sorry, Disney World, Disney Universe, the World Series. Only happens in America. How can you have a world? Yeah, anyway. So, but one of the things that I do remember there was that maybe I'm getting mixed up, but you went round the world and it was like a little thing you could do. You went to different countries like Switzerland or London.
Yeah, you know what that's called?
And you could do it in an hour. And it was like, that's why no Americans don't generally travel or bother. Why would you go there? Because it's
you've got the whole world.
You've got the whole world within
in your hands.
The whole world of Disney.
Yeah, it's called Epcot Center.
Is it?
Yes.
Why is it called that?
I don't know, because it's the center Epcot. What? I don't know what Epcot stands for. Do you know, John?
I have no idea, but I can try to make something up.
We can try to Google that.
It's the epicenter, because Disneyland is the
that
epicenter.
That is a really good question that I don't know the answer to, of what is Epcot.
I learned a lot. They choreographed everything there, and I'd never been somewhere where it was like that.
Yeah.
I remember them saying, oh, we got 50,000 people working here. How many litter pickers have we got? And we went, oh, I don't know, 50,000.
Epcot. 50,000. Oh, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. What? We just learned something new on Radio St. Pete. It's a prototype. And we know something a little bit about prototypes. I'll just say for the listeners. So my relationship to these two gentlemen that I'm sitting in between has to do with...
Gentlemen.
I don't know if I'd call them... I was trying to be polite on radio, but, you know... We are all three designers that met together through our design work many years ago. And we taught, how many thousands of people do you think we've taught to prototype? Speaking of prototyping.
Anyway, coming back to my Disney story. Well, I'd like to finish.
Okay. This is started. Gavin. This is very Gavin. Okay, Gavin.
I have to focus on one thing at a time. I'm only a man,
okay,
after all. Anyway, so, yes, one of the thing they said to me, I've always remembered, they goes, what do you think the most important thing is when people come here with their families to Disneyland? And we all sat there and we thought, and we said, oh, the queues for the ride, or can you get something to eat, or do you meet Mickey, or meet one of the characters? And they went, nah, it's all important, but the most important thing is parking. And I went, what? And they said, well, yes, if you've had a great day at Disneyland, you met Mickey, you've had in on the rides, you've been around the, what was it, Epicenter, so you've been around the world.
Epcot.
I'm a bit dyslexic. although you've never left the state of Florida. If you are then tired with your kids and you can't find your car, the day is a write-off. Mm-hmm. So they said they spent more time on parking, which is, I think, dovetails naturally with the American dream, because you like your cars over here, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, and actually, you know, I used to work for Cirque du Soleil, and we used to talk about how parking was part of the experience. When we teach the five E's of experience, with all of us know, entice, enter, engage, exit, extend.
And then park.
And the parking is part of that entice, and people don't take it seriously. They don't think it's part of their experience, but it is.
They had this whole fan system of park. It's like a big fan. They worked out that was the best way, you know, whenever. Ah. They said, how many people here have ever lost their car? Viewers put their hands up. Yeah. Who's lost their car at Disney? Nobody loses their car at Disney.
Ah, that's that was their line.
I like a car too. I like English sports cars, now that we're talking about it. Now we're talking about cars. So my first car was a MGB Roadster, which actually came from America. It was exported here to San Diego, and then it got brought back to England. And it had three windscreen wipers. But because it was British, when you went over 60 miles an hour, the windscreen wipers didn't touch the windscreen. But I loved it. It was always breaking down a little bit, and I fixed everything on it. I said to the mechanic, I said, we've done everything now, we fixed everything, haven't we? And he went, yeah, but you've got to remember that it's kind of an ongoing cycle, Gavin, because it's kind of shaking itself apart. See, John over there, he bought another great race 60s car, but he bought a Mercedes. Oh, look, yeah. Our food's here.
Our cheese is here. John, do you want to tell me about your car real quick before we do cheese, and then we'll close this up? Because Gavin sounds like he could talk forever.
He really can.
I didn't know he was so into radio.
Yeah, I was out with a friend on a, you know, one of those beautiful summer nights, and I think she had like a small Triumph and convertible top down. It was just so awesome. I said, I got to find a nice convertible. So I started looking around for, you know, the old Italian convertibles, British convertibles and stuff like that. What I quickly found was that if you own one of those cars, you had to be a part-time mechanic and you shouldn't drive any further than a tow truck could get you back.
Okay.
Those cars were pretty unreliable. Electrical problems and things like that, very hard to diagnose. Yeah. And what I found was that the Mercedes convertibles were known, like once you got them running, they would run forever. And so I honed in on a 230 SL, sort of the early version of that classic 60s Mercedes convertible, and started looking all over. Actually flew from Pittsburgh to Miami.
Another Florida story.
Another
Look
Florida
at this.
Story.
It all ties back.
It always comes back to Florida.
In one day, I found a car that was for sale. I flew down in the morning, drove over to it, tested out the engine. It wasn't good. Drove home.
Or flew home.
No. I flew all the way down to Florida. But I was flying all over the country trying to find it. And then finally I found one in D.C. And it belonged to a... it was originally purchased by an Air Force officer who was based in Germany at the time.
Okay.
So this version of the Mercedes was actually the German version, not the American version. So it has some distinctive headlights and things like that. And he brought it over from Germany, and it was basically passed from Air Force officer to Air Force, single Air Force officer to single Air Force officer. As they became like married and they had to let go of their car, they'd hand it off to like somebody else. And so it basically spent its whole life in Air Force bases in the southwest of the U.S.
Was it left-hand drive or right?
No, it was right-hand. No, it was left-hand drive. Left-hand drive. Yes, left-hand drive. Yeah. But it was. It had the good fortune of spending most of its time in the arid U.S. Southwest. So Arizona and Nevada mostly,
so
on
dry,
Air Force bases.
Good.
So it was rust-free. Uh-huh. So it was a really, really great car. And so I drove down to D.C., checked it out, bought it, drove home, and kept it. It was my daily driver. It was one of those cars that's known as a 10-footer.
What does that mean?
It looks good from 10 feet. Okay. if you got up close to it, it wasn't like a show car. They're like you see a lot of these guys, okay. and they take it, and those are beautiful, like pristine, but they're so nice you can't actually take them out.
Yeah.
And my car looked good, but I just drove it every single day. Right. I would drive it out at night. I'd park it wherever. Wasn't worried about it. And I'd say that's probably the best classic car to have. It's nice, but not so nice that
you can't. That
it's not a museum piece.
Exactly.
You know? My car.
My next car, which was also German, that's the connection. It was a Volkswagen Beetle, but it was from 1957. And that you needed to be 100 feet away for it to look half decent. And I, funnily enough, I bought it in New Zealand. I saw it in New Zealand the first day I landed there. I was doing a bit of traveling around. Mm-hmm. And it had an oval back windscreen, so it was quite old. It had little flip indicators that moved up very slowly.
Okay.
Yeah, not very good on a modern road, has to be said. I drove all around New Zealand in it and then thought it would be a great idea to bring it back to England. So I met someone who was who shipped mutton and sheep back to the UK. And he said, I can put it on for you. So I had no problems with it in the whole of New Zealand. It was an old, battered old car. As soon as I got it back to England, everything went wrong. But I've got a history with old cars. Anyway, it's enough about old cars.
Let's go into our cheese. I mean, who would have thought? I've known you guys for how long? Maybe 15 years? You're out here visiting just for one night to come and have a little reunion with me. Mm-hmm. And I just learned a ton of new things.
It's the power of radio.
The power of radio and wine. Here and wine on here on... Radio St. Pete.